What if I told you weight loss is not about willpower, cutting carbs, or working harder in the gym, but instead comes down to flipping a specific switch in your body, one that helps flush out unnecessary calories? Heart surgeon and nutrition expert Dr. Stephen Gundry is revealing a new, simple, but insanely effective way to help get a slim, energized, and healthy body with no deprivation, restrictions, or fads. MCT Wellness can help you flip that switch yourself from the comfort of your own home. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. All you do is add a scoop to water and enjoy. Help unlock your body's potential by going to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Mile High Huddle podcast with your football priests, Chad Jensen and Zach Kelberman. Remember, Broncos country is not a geographic location. It's a state of being.
Welcome in, everybody. This is the Mile High Huddle podcast, if you didn't know. I'm your host, Chad Jensen. With me, my fellow football priest, you know him, you love him, Zach Kelberman. Zach, some weird stuff. I mean, we have actually quite a lot of news to get to, but kind of late to the party. It rises to the top. Report: Broncos wide receiver Josh Reynolds shot twice after leaving the strip club. And then we read, where's the woman's name? Janet Oravets from Nine News. Quote, officers responded. This is outside of a cover your ears. We'll just call it an entertainment club. Okay. Quote, officers responded there and located the victims. Among them was Reynolds, who, according to court documents, was shot twice, once in his left arm, once in the back of his head. Another man was shot in his back. A third victim was wounded by shattered glass. Court documents say all three had scrapes from climbing over a fence, the documents say. Close quote. Zach, this dude's alive?
It's very, came out of nowhere. Mike Kliss reported it, or at least that's where I saw it, Chad, and I'm like, wait, what? What happened now? That's awfully too close to home with what happened to Darren Williams, unfortunately. So thankfully, Josh Reynolds is okay. It obviously could have been a lot worse. And a lot of people are going to try to insert politics into this discussion. I'm not going to do that. A lot of people are going to blame Reynolds for being at a strip club. I'm not going to do that. You can judge him for that activity, but he doesn't deserve to be shot for going to a strip club. No one does, Chad. So, unfortunate situation. I did read, though, that Reynolds was around the practice facility. He was treated for minor wounds. Could have been much scarier, still scary, but I'm glad he's okay.
But when I hear shot, to me that means bullet or projectile from a fireable weapon entered the body one way or another. This sounds more like perhaps, and I'm totally speculating, it was more like glass shards or some kind of shrapnel. Because if you take a bullet to the dome, you're not at practice. You're not walking around the facility 2 days later. You feel me? Like, that's the end of the story. So prayers up for him. It's absolutely tragic and terrible what happened. There's additional details we're going to get into, but we got to grab this very generous super chat from Sam Bam checking in. What's up, brother? He says, hi, guys. Glad the Reynolds incident wasn't worse than what it could have been. Hopefully it was just a matter of wrong place, wrong time situation and nothing else. Also, I'm glad the Dalton family is okay as well. Go Broncos. Again, a weird week relative to news. We're dealing with car accidents that affect starting lineups take a Dalton, Andy Dalton out of the starting lineup, put in Bryce Young. And now this, Zach, Zeus McPeak also checking in. Love you, big dog. Great to see Zeus in the house. Hi, all. He says, glad Josh is okay. One lucky guy. I'll say. Zach, your thoughts for these fellas, and then I want to get to a couple other details from Nine News.
Yeah, appreciate you, Sam. Appreciate you, Stu. And you're right about the Andy Dalton car accident that happened a few days ago. He sprained his thumb. We'll get to that, obviously. But even earlier in the season, the Niners rookie receiver, Ricky Pearsall, was shot in San Francisco, and he recovered from that. It could have been a lot worse, and it wasn't. But still, it's just a lot of unfortunate, tragic situations that shouldn't happen. But we just have to keep rolling forward, and we're glad that Reynolds is okay.
So you might ask yourself, why the Sam Hill was a professional athlete making millions of dollars getting blasted at in the wee hours of the morning, not long after leaving a gentleman's entertainment club? All right, well, here's from the report I'm going to quote from Nine News. When they left the club, two drivers began following them in vehicles and shots were fired. The court documents say they reported to police that the suspects continued to follow them as they got onto the highway, at which point documents say Reynolds' vehicle had four vehicles following them. Once there, they said the vehicle would no longer drive and they ran from the vehicle, hence the scrapes right on the fence. Continuing, on Wednesday, Denver announced they arrested two men whose names I'm not going to mention. According to court documents, a video from the club shows one man entering the club just after midnight. These documents say he did not engage with the entertainers. Okay, it's a gentleman's club. But instead watched the victims. As they left, the victims, this man followed them out. Documents say several other vehicles were seen pulling into the lot, and people inside them appeared to be waiting for the victim to leave, according to the documents. Three vehicles were seen following the victims. Documents show two more things. In most of the videos reviewed by investigators, the man, whose name I won't mention, vehicle was directly behind the victims. Following his arrest, the other guy in question here told investigators he was, quote, helping a friend who had asked him to follow the victims due to a prior conflict. He denied he ever shot at the victims and said the gunfire came from the other vehicles. He refused to describe those vehicles, according to the court documents. And that, Zach, is closing the quotes on that. So that's the context. When you say, where did this come from? One of the people who is suspected of firing the shots, Zach, claims there was a prior conflict. So not one from that night. And we have no way of knowing if that involved Reynolds, for what it's worth. He could have been along for the ride, so to speak.
Yeah, I mean, we can play Law and Order and speculate as to the motive of the shooting, but it was a fairly major incident, Chad, involving a professional football player. I'm still surprised we haven't heard about it for a week. It happened last Friday, and it's Thursday, so 6 days they kept it under wraps. It's a little curious, but I just happen to think he's a millionaire. He's in a public location. I'm sure he was not flaunting his money, but using his money on the services at that location, and someone wants a free, quick payout. Happened to Pearsall, like I mentioned. It was an attempted robbery. Unfortunate. That's all I can say. Unfortunate.
Indeed. A lot of action taking place on the Broncos beat. A lot of action set to take place on Sunday with the Carolina Panthers coming to town to face the Denver Broncos. And when it comes to action and getting the most enjoyment possible out of these games, Prize Picks is the best place to get real money sports action. With over 10 million members and billions of dollars in awarded winnings, Prize Picks has made daily fantasy sports accessible to all. You just pick more or less on at least two players for a shot to win up to 100 times your cash. Run your game all season long on Prize Picks. Check this out.
Yeah, Prize Picks is the only real money daily fantasy platform with an injury insurance policy, so your lineups stay in place even if one of your players gets injured. If your player leaves in the first half and doesn't return, Prize Picks keeps your lineup live. Prize Picks is the best place to get real money sports action. Join over 10 million users and sign up today. Prize Picks puts its members first, so all withdrawals are fast, safe, and secure. When my picks hit, I can get my money in as quick as 15 minutes. Sign up today and get $50 instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It is guaranteed.
That's right, guys. So download the app today. Use code MILEHIGH, all one word, to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. Again, download the Prize Picks app today and use code MILEHIGH to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. All right. we continue on with the conversation. Some interesting here. We got, first of all, Papa Bear jumping in. Great to see you. Glad to see also, Papa Bear, that you got your care package. Awesome, dude. We love you. Hope you understand. We love you, big dog. He says, good evening, Broncos country. 10-7 plus. Let's go, Bo. Amen to that, brother. There is, amidst all this drama this week, after all, Zach, an actual football game to be played. So we'll be getting into that. We'll be doing some head-to-head tonight. The Ronk saying, good evening, Chad and Zach, on the Mile High Huddle podcast. Go, Bo Broncos. Love you, brother. Thank you. Eric Flynn jumping in on Facebook as well. Always great to see Eric, and we appreciate the love and support from our great Facebook community. And the Duchess chiming in on something that I, too, find to be curious. Thank you, Michaela. We love you. She says, so weird that reports say there was no altercation at the club. Reported that they just, that people came in and were staring at them. Right. It's really bizarre. So either there's something to that, there was a prior something, whether Reynolds was involved in that or not, we don't know. Or as Zach talked about, there's, you know, those kind of entertainment establishments, man, they can recognize when a cat, in fact, they're trained to recognize when a cat has a few bucks. And if he happens to be famous for any way, shape, or like, you know, perceived as wealthy or rich, some of the seedier Zach and, dare I say, criminal designs can come out of the wash, like getting cased, like getting set up, different things. So who knows exactly what it was? We don't know, Michaela, but it is weird, as you say.
I mean, he got a $2 million signing bonus upon putting pen to paper with the Broncos. I'm pretty sure he wasn't walking in there wearing a Fruit of the Loom t-shirt, for example. So, you know, again, he catches eyes because he's a professional football player. Maybe when he walked in, others went, oh, you see that? Get, you know who that is? That's Josh Reynolds of the Broncos. And it starts from there. People with bad intentions, evil people, people with no impulse control, yada, yada. They just can't help themselves. And they saw Reynolds, obviously, as an easy target. But that's me speculating.
$2 million, you got to keep $1 million. That tax bracket, you got to take home $1 million. So anyway, Phil McLaughlin, just from his signing bonus, right? Just in the terms of the tax bracket that puts him in. That's why a lot of players, they love playing in Florida. If they can get to Florida, baby, they can really take a chunk out of some of that. But Phil, and keep the money they earned. Phil McLaughlin down in Tucson, proving the Broncos country is not a geographic location. It's in fact a state of being. Checking in to say, good evening, Chad, Zach, and Deacon Scott at granddaughter's volleyball game. We'll watch later. Hashtag Buckham, MHS for life, Broncos for life. We'll go granddaughter. Let's hope she wins and hope she has a great game. That's really cool. My wife was she got a scholarship as a high school volleyball player. So volleyball in our family too, my friend. So really cool. Thanks for checking in. Enjoy the stream later. William James Baker jumping in. What's up, brother, on Facebook? Been throwing down stars like crazy of late. Thank you, bro. He says, what's happening, guys? London calling across the pond. Guys, wouldn't Henry at the Patriots be a good fit and cheap? Or who else we prefer? I think he's consistent. Also, T. Higgins, free agency. What do we think, Zach? Your thoughts?
I love T. Higgins, but you basically have a poor version of him in Cortland Sutton. You need a separator. You need a game breaker. I wouldn't really spend money on T. Higgins. Hunter Henry, though, or any tight end the Broncos can come across. I looked up his contract. He's on a 3-year, $27 million extension. I mean, not the end of the world, but not my first choice either to trade. I mean, there's Kyle Pitts out there, and there might be Isaiah Likely. David Njoku is the popular choice on Broncos country, the guy I've been pushing. I looked it up, Chad, in terms of a blocking tight end, not just a great pass catcher, the sixth highest rated run blocker of all tight ends in the NFL. So he can do it all. Only problem is kind of a hefty contract the Broncos would have to eat. But to answer your question, William, a lot of fans want the Broncos to go after a receiver, a running back. I think tight end is the priority here. And Henry would have fit the bill.
Yeah. To quote Mr. Producer, Henry's in the first year of a contract extension. So if the Broncos, first of all, if the Patriots were willing to trade him and the Broncos acquired him, he would carry a pretty good sized dead cap hit. So as Zach mentioned, Njoku's interesting. Akins, who is one of his backups slash co, you know, partners in crime when they do two tight end sets. He's also interesting, but he doesn't bring as much of a well-rounded skill set to the table. Njoku, man, I mean, it's not looking, Zach, like they're going to pull a rabbit out of the hat this year, the Cleveland Browns. I mean, what's the AFC North right now? Let me double check this. Yeah, they're 1-6, right? So they could start really shedding. I'm going to be curious to see if Stefanski's retained after this season. I bet that he is, but still, certain older, more tenured veterans, if they can move them, they might look to do it. Henry in a vacuum would qualify, but there's a couple things like we're talking about here that contract would make it a little bit tougher.
You know, speaking of Cleveland, this is kind of related.
That's Patriots.
Kind of not. I saw our old friend Jerry Jeudy is once again making waves, expressing frustration over the situation in Cleveland, I guess. So I'm just – the Broncos made such a red choice getting rid of him.
Let me – since I screwed that up, let me look up real quick Njoku's cap hit. David Njoku from over the cap. So right now, this season, 2024, he's got a $9.6 million cap number. With a $1.2 million base salary, bunch of bonuses that have been paid. So there'd be some next year. He carries a $12 million cap hit and then a bunch of void years. So there'd be some complications there, but I think he's good enough, Zach, that you could find a way around it with the salary cap voodoo that exists nowadays.
Or you give a conditional pick, or some sort of pick swap on the condition that Cleveland eats some of that contract. And if they do, I mean, I'm willing to go up to a third in that case for Njoku. He's that good of a player, in my opinion.
Yeah, as Scott says, $20 million in the void years. So they'd be taking a dead cap hit no matter what, unless the Browns were willing to somehow keep a lot of that on their books, but I doubt it. Cody Dubb, you know a good feeling. Thank you, bro. It's good to see you. He says, you know a good feeling is when you're watching Crossover Thursday and other teams are giving us our dues. Broncos are trending in the right direction. Yeah, there was an interesting story earlier this week that I found to be very cool from where to go. Hold on. I want to say it was a – was it a Nick article? Hold on. I'm almost there. Yeah. No, sorry. It was Dylan. It was Dylan Von Arks. Shout out to Dylan. So this is from Eric Edholm, Zach, from NFL.com. When the Broncos in the week 8 NFL.com power rankings rose 4 spots to number 12, all right, which is the second best spot on the rankings in the AFC West, he said this, did Edholm, quote, "The passing game still looks wonky at times, and it's not always gorgeous in the other facets, but the Broncos are winning with Bo Nix at quarterback. They're 4-3 with the Panthers at home up next. And though the schedule stiffens immediately after that, there's something very interesting brewing in Denver." Then he goes on to talk about how Nix can make plays with his legs, and we've seen him break out of passing slumps in games as well. Plus, the defense is legit. And then something, Zach, that Nick has been harping on a lot in his articles this week is the perhaps underappreciated value that the special teams brings to the table in the margins, so to speak.
When I was listening to the, I guess, critique of Edholm there, the only word that stood out to me was winning. And it's a lot like what Cortland, and he admitted it too in that little blurb. And same thing Cortland Sutton said. You know, he was held to one catch in last week's game, and he was asked about it. He goes, "We won. That's all that matters." But you're right, Cody. They are trending nationally in a positive direction. NFL.com, the roundtable, puts out predictions every week, and increasingly it's gotten more pro Broncos. I believe it's a clean sweep picking Denver this week over the Panthers. And little by little, more folks have come around. We don't want them on the bandwagon. Keep letting them hating on the Broncos. Let the Broncos fly under the radar. But you see it's turning now.
Speaking of clean sweeps, guys, this episode is brought to you in part by Manscaped, which is, of course, the global leader in men's lifestyle and grooming. Every man knows the unbeatable feeling of a fresh barbershop shave like yours truly. Now, what if I told you that you no longer have to wait weeks or even months between appointments to experience that beautiful feeling?
Introducing Manscaped's newest innovation, the Chairman Pro Electric Foil Shaver, the game-changing tool that brings the luxury of a professional shave right into your home. Whether you're after that daily silky smooth finish or prefer to maintain a rugged 5 o'clock shadow, the Chairman Pro Electric Foil Shaver is your go-to for precision and style every single time. So head on over to manscaped.com and join the over 11 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped by using code HUDDLE for 20% off and free shipping.
That's right, guys. The Chairman Pro. Get it today. Experience a shave that is as smooth as you deserve. Get that 20% off and free shipping with our code HUDDLE at manscaped.com. 20% off plus free shipping with our code HUDDLE at manscaped.com. All right, back into the conversation we go. Zach, a few other things. Let's actually shine a little bit of a light on what's going on at quarterback. So, by now, of course, it's Thursday night. It's somewhat old news, but we did learn yesterday that Andy Dalton is not going to start. So it's kind of weird because on Monday, that head coach, Panthers head coach, said, no, I'm going to go ahead and start Andy Dalton against the Broncos, and it made some waves. Cut two, now it's going to be the rookie. You had the article for us, though, kind of explaining what's really going on. Break it down.
Yeah, anyone who kind of follows the Panthers knows that Bryce Young, the second-year former number one overall pick, was benched after week two. In came the veteran Andy Dalton, who I can't believe is still around, Chad. It feels like he's been playing, you know, 20 years. Dalton won the first game in Carolina and then I think has lost every game since, has gotten increasingly worse, fallen back to earth. He was going to start on Sunday against the Broncos until that car accident on Tuesday in which he suffered a sprained thumb. So in comes Bryce Young again. And I think no matter where they go, though, Chad, the Carolina offense is not moving the Broncos defense by an inch. At least they shouldn't. Bryce Young got benched because he threw for, I think it was 83 scoreless yards and an interception after week two. Last week, Andy Dalton threw for 93 scoreless yards and two picks. It's a bad situation there. They have no playmakers, and the Broncos defense should dominate with a capital D.
Yeah, we're going to look at some of the head-to-head, and it'll be somewhat deceiving only in the sense that the majority of the sample size now and those statistics will have been with Andy Dalton at the helm. The rookie has started two. Andy Dalton has started five. He's won exactly one game, the only game the Panthers have won. So I do expect, Zach, this to be a Broncos defensive whirlwind once again. And it was interesting today. Bob Morris had an article, and initially I thought he was just keeping it focused on last year. Last year, the Denver Broncos, as a team, finished with 42 sacks, okay? This season is a different story, Bob writes. Broncos are on pace to surpass their sack total from 23 with 28 sacks through seven games, but the actual single-season franchise record for the Broncos was from 1984 when they had 57 sacks, but the pace they're on actually has them at 68, finishing with 68. Now, it's as the competition stiffens up here in the very near future, obviously they're not going to be as quite as productive on the statistical side of things. That is going to tighten up a little bit, especially down the stretch, Zach, but they're still well on pace to obliterate the single season sack total in franchise history, which again, 1984, 57 team sacks with currently sitting on 28.
Yeah, I think one more for Nick Benito. He has a sack in four or five straight games. He would, what is it, tie Von Miller's record, Chad, or break Von Miller's record? I'm not sure, one of them. But regardless, Vance is getting production out of every single person in that front seven. It's actually really impressive, though. We have Michaela Parker, the Duchess, 499 super. Thank you so much, Michaela. As always, she says, damn, who knew Sam Darnold was that good? We should have picked him up. The Broncos were loosely interested in Sam Darnold until that price tag was just too much for them to bear, and they kind of just settled for Zach Wilson after that. But Michaela, the answer to this question is an expression that you should know by now, which is coaching, coaching, coaching. Kevin O'Connell has done wonders for every quarterback, whether it's Kirk Cousins or now Sam Darnold. Also helps having weapons around a quarterback with JJ out there, Jordan Addison. They have Hockenson coming back, a good O-line. So that's the basics of it. You put a quarterback, no matter who it is, in a good situation with a good foundation, you'll be able to mine that.
Exactly, but you'd be in that same situation. Now, remember, if the rookie doesn't get hurt, it's not Sam Darnold playing right now. I mean, there's a chance they would have gone with Darnold, but if the Broncos signed Darnold, he wouldn't have been playing in all probability either. It would still be Bo Nix. Not much different than what's going on. But to be honest, yes, the Broncos, Zach, were linked to him in the rumor mill. I'm happy for him, dude, after being such a high pick that had crashed so ignominiously. Like, I'm seeing ghosts out there becoming an NFL meme. Just, oh, man, tough for him. I'm glad to see him having a little bit of success. And to confirm, Zach, what you mentioned about Nick Benito, indeed, he has tallied a sack in 5 straight games, the longest streak by a Bronco since Von Miller in 2018. So that's pretty dang cool. And as it stands, the sack leaders are Nick Benito with 5, Jonathan Cooper 4.5, and then Zach Allen with 4. And that's not even in quite half of a season. So the Broncos basically have 3 players trending toward double-digit sack totals, which would be completely unexpected, dang near unprecedented. I'm trying to remember the last time 3 Broncos got double-digit sacks. I remember Vaughn and Chubb did it, both got doubles in his rookie year. Was that 2019? Wait, what year was he the fifth pick? Or was it, no, was it 18?
2018.
Yeah. So 2 guys with 10 then. Vaughn and D. Ware did it at least once. Vaughn and Doomerville did it twice. But I don't know that I mean, I'm sure it's happened somewhere in team history. How cool would it be to have 3 guys in double-digit sack territory? Man, if the Broncos managed to pull that off, it would be almost impossible to not forecast this team being a playoff team.
Nor VJ not being a head coach somewhere in 2025. And, you know, there's a benefit to that happening. The Broncos would get 2 third-round picks, but we're not even mentioning the quarterback hits, the pressures, the stats that aren't counted but still affect a quarterback every play. I got to give VJ, once again, I do it every podcast now, which is incredible for me. Got to give VJ his credit for what he's done with this defense this year. They are legitimate.
Zach, I got to get your thoughts on another subject here, a piece of news. You guys hopefully have read this article at milehighhuddle.com, courtesy of Nick Kendall from ESPN. They're going around the league, all 32 teams, and their little staff of insiders and beat writers. Should said team be buyers or sellers ahead of the deadline? And it was interesting. The guy, 3 different writers were quoted relative to the Denver Broncos, Zach. The guy that's the most relevant, the guy with the roots, Jeff Legwald, what he had to say was actually the most interesting. He pointed to the Broncos keeping an eye on the Broncos being sellers at the quarterback position. This is what Legwald said on ESPN, quote, Jarrett Stidham lost the training camp competition with Knicks, so he has been the QB2 on game days this season, but the Broncos are still intrigued by Zach Wilson's physical skills and arm strength, both of which he displayed often in camp practices and preseason games. Given their ultra tight cap this year and next, thanks to their decision to release Russell Wilson earlier this year, the Broncos need draft capital and would listen to any and all offers for either quarterback, Zach. So if one gets moved, first of all, which one could you see actually garnering the most interest ahead of the deadline?
Zach Wilson had the better preseason. He's looked better this year. And I think he offers way more upside. That's the consensus with NFL evaluators. So I think he would draw the trade interest. I just don't understand how trading off a backup quarterback makes the Broncos sellers. I don't think that determination has been made yet. If they beat Carolina, then go beat Baltimore, they're going to probably go a little all in and be buyers at the deadline. It would be good business, though, to move on from a quarterback that you don't need. In that case, if a needy team wants the high floor guy, Jarrett Stidham's right there for a mid-round pick or so. If you want the high ceiling gamble, want to pry Sean Payton's pet project away, they have Zach Wilson. Ultimately, though, I think Zach would garner more interest.
I do, too. It'll be interesting to see exactly how it plays out. But other news, we're going to get to the head-to-head here shortly. There is one other story that I thought would be worth a quick discussion here, Zach, also from Nick Kendall, who is a I won't say compulsive, I'll say comprehensive podcast listener, both during the season and during the off season. And when you're a writer covering an NFL team, it can be actually quite the asset listening to those podcasts, because every once in a while something gets said from a noteworthy analyst or speaker or former player or former GM that is worthy of fan interest, who they might not be listeners of that podcast, but I got a few million readers that might be interested in hearing what this guy had to say. And such is the case, Zach, from CBS Sports Podcast. It's called With the First Pick. Ryan Wilson and longtime former Minnesota Vikings GM Rick Spielman broke down some stock reports going around the NFL. And when it came to the Denver Broncos, suffice it to say, Spielman was not stoked on Bo Nix. This is what he said, quote, "The one thing is he's driving in the pocket. He's seeing ghosts in the pocket," channeling, according to this cat, some Darnold. "When he doesn't, he can step up and throw. The biggest thing," and Sean Payton talked about it, "why he loved Bo Nix so much is because of his accuracy. Well, I don't see the accuracy right now, especially when he can't set his feet. I thought he had struggled, especially with his accuracy when he gets outside the pocket trying to create second chance throws or off schedule throws." This is the interesting part. "He's just not the guy we saw at Oregon," close quote. Zach, your thoughts?
One person's opinion. And I think the way you introduced him, or you should introduce him, is former NFL GM, because he's former for a reason. And I looked it up. He was the Vikings general manager for about a decade. And that coincided with the Minneapolis, with the rivalry between the Saints and the Vikings. I think maybe there's some Sean Payton bias there. I mean, it's just, I haven't heard the type of pointed criticism like he's putting out there from other people, but it's still one person's opinion.
Also, there's that connection with the Broncos front office relative to George Payton being his protege, right? And best friend. When the Broncos hired George Payton, big part of the storylines, if you guys remember from the reporting, and in fact, this is something George Payton would talk about at the podium, how his best friend and was also his mentor, Spielman, and how their kids knew each other and were friends. I mean, these guys were like this. Spielman vouched for him, helped him get the job. I mean, George Payton was a NFL teams were after George Payton as a GM candidate for a long time. Okay. And it wasn't until the Broncos came calling with whatever offer and situation they were in that he finally made the leap. But that is interesting. I didn't think about that former, was he there for Bountygate?
He was with the Vikings since 2006.
So yes, right? Because that was the 09 season that resulted in the single Super Bowl.
Even better point. Yeah, I think there's a lot of sour grapes and Sean Payton bias and that statement against Bo Nix. And that's the thing. For those who have disliked Sean Payton, Bo Nix has been criticized by association just because he went to a team coached by Sean Payton that makes him a lesser quarterback somehow.
All right, guys, we're about to do the head-to-head, take a hard look at the Carolina Panthers. Before we do that, one last message here for Mint Mobile, because with the big wireless providers, we all know that what you see is never what you get. Somewhere between the store and that nice salesperson that helped you out, sometime between that and your first month's bill, the price that you thought you were paying magically skyrockets. But with Mint Mobile, you'll never have to worry about those gotchas ever again. When Mint Mobile says $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan, they mean it. So say bye-bye to your overpriced wireless plans, monthly bills skyrocketing, and all those unexpected overages.
To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month premium wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/huddle. That's mintmobile.com/huddle. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/huddle. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Okay, before we get to the head-to-head, I just want to give some shouts to our Instagram peeps. Ovaneso23, what's up? It seems like Josh Reynolds is okay. It's unclear, though, exactly the extent of the injuries he suffered from being shot twice, according to court documents via 9 News. Really bizarre. Speed Demon 1786, Chad and Zach, would you guys be interested in Giants receiver Jalin Hyatt or Mechie from Houston? Zach, what's your answer for him?
Not really. Mechie's unproven. He had a great story overcoming cancer of some sort. But Hyatt, an unproven guy, smaller. I don't know. I want, if they're going to go to the trade market, I want to give Bo Nix some security in the middle of the field down the seams, and that would come with a tight end.
All right. The time has come. Let me blow this up so everyone can see it well, get it to its full resolution, and then we'll do the head-to-head. So every Thursday, we take a look at the Broncos and their coming opponent head-to-head based on the statistics that are provided to us kindly in the game capsules by the Broncos PR department. A green designation means top 10. Red is bottom 10. Black is somewhere in the middle. Broncos are 4-3. Panthers 1-6. Broncos currently are at a 0 turnover margin, which is great, Zach. They finally dug out of the minus. Now they're exactly at neutral. So that puts them in the middle of the pack. Meanwhile, the Panthers have lost the ball 6 times more than they've taken it away. And the time of possession, the Broncos have improved here as well. And the better they get a run in the ball, the better this metric will improve. They're ranked 20th. Meanwhile, there are only a handful of teams worse than the Panthers at possessing the ball. But when you look at these two head-to-heads, this is where it gets a little bit – I don't think it's going to be all that big a difference, to be frank with you. But, again, without Andy Dalton as the quarterback, this changes a little bit. But it changes more in the favor of the Broncos, so keep that in mind. But offensively, let's take a look at these Broncos real quick. 27th in yards per game. Let's see. Scoring, they're tied for 21st, though. Helps when your defense puts a tutty up there every once in a while. Rushing, 13th best rushing offense, 29th in terms of passing, though. The passing volume, Zach, remains woefully low. But look, we do have one single solitary green designation for this Broncos offense, and that is Bo Nix does not like to get sacked, dude. He just refuses to get sacked. Only 9 this season, which is tied for the first fewest. Like, they're tied, but besides the team they're tied with, no other team has taken fewer sacks than the Denver Broncos. But this third down metric, Zach, remains piss poor. Pardon my French. This is an absolutely unacceptable third down figure for the Broncos. It's going to be a huge source of woes if they don't quickly find a way to improve that. But I'll tell you what does. Moving the ball on first and second down, and especially that ties to run game. Now look at all this red, though, for the Panthers. 29th in net yards per game. 28th in points per game. They're only putting 15.7 points per game on the board. Rushing, they're 23rd. Passing, they're 28th. They've been picked off 9 times, which is 31st. So only one team has more interceptions than the Panthers. 3 fumbles, though, that's actually pretty good relative to the rankings. So total giveaways, though, 12, which ranks them tied for 30th. Third down, they're also piss poor, Zach, but they're actually better than the Broncos. And then red zone, these teams are pretty close to each other. Broncos, 52% conversion, 21st, whereas the Panthers are a little bit better, Zach, 56.
In terms of the Broncos, you harped on the third down percentage, and absolutely it's still a concern. And I think not getting it going in the first half, being too scripted like we've been talking about, Chad, and not having any momentum and waiting until the third and fourth quarters to pick it up is contributing to that. So they've gotten the red zone percentage up incrementally. Hopefully the third down percentage follows. In terms of Carolina, like I said earlier, they can't really do anything right on offense. They had one decent player at receiver, Adam Thielen, and he's been out on IR. They have a decent running back in Chuba Hubbard, a rookie receiver in Xavier Leggett. But their tight end is named Tommy Tremble, for example. That's their starting tight end. It's just it's a no-talent having unit, and I think the Broncos defense actually could outscore the Broncos offense this Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, again, you look at those giveaways, that makes a team like the Broncos really get – they sit up in their seat. They get excited. But the one thing I forgot to mention is the Panthers have done well to protect their quarterback relative to sacks, only 14, which ties them for ninth fewest in the NFL. So that's a top 10 metric. All right, let's take a look at these defenses. Look at all this greenery for your Denver Broncos. Third in net yards, first in yards per play. What's that?
No, 6 to midnight.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Third in points per game, only allowing 15.1. Net yards on the ground, they're top 10. Net passing yards, they're the fifth best passing defense. And keep in mind, two of the seven games, they haven't had their best passing defender in Pat Surtain. Five interceptions ties him for 12th, keeps him just outside the top 10. Fumble recoveries, though, these have been happening. That Saints game really helped kind of pump those numbers. Five, that ties him for 4th. 10 total takeaways puts him in the top 10. And sacks, they have 28. Only one team still. That's a second ranking. I was hoping maybe they'd move ahead after that New Orleans game, Zach, but they're still ranked 2nd. And then red zone, nobody better than your Denver Broncos. Third down, though, they're just – they're literally smack dab middle of the pack defense. Now, we look at the Panthers, 30th in yards per game, 31st in yards per play, points per game, 34.7. How could that be 16th? They're giving up 34.7, and that's 16th? That can't be right. Mr. Producer, for craps and gigs, could you perhaps just research what – where their ranking is on points allowed. Then we've got rushing 32nd. All right. Passing 25th. Look at this. I mean, what do you have to hang your hat on defensively here, Zach? Maybe fumble recoveries is middle of the pack. You got three of them. That puts you at 15th. That's your highest defensive metric, Zach. This is, you want to talk about a poor offensive unit. This defense, Zach, from the stats, it ain't good.
And guess who they're led by? Our old friend is Jiro Evero, who's the DC out there, and I just not having a good time. Josie Jewell's also out there in Carolina, and they just, like, the offense can't get much going. In terms of the Broncos, though, it's even more impressive when you consider those stats are what they are and the rankings are what they are, and they did that without their best player, Surtain, for basically two games. And like I said, VJ deserves the production he's getting from the inside linebackers, from the front seven, from the members of the secondary. You see it all in the wash right there. It's not a fair fight this Sunday, Chad.
And Josie's missed some games. He's only got 4 games this year. He's got 30 tackles. Shocker. Because I say that with slightly tongue-in-cheek. He had a lot of injury misfortune early, Zach, in his Broncos career, then became like the epitome of reliability. Ralph jumping in on Facebook to say, I think we go 4-2 the next 6 games. Interesting. We'll look more at that. We'll look ahead here in a minute. Thank you for the support, Ralph. You the man. Let me see what Mr. Producer says. They're ranked 32 by a touchdown. Yeah, so you go back here to this points per game, they're giving up 34.7, that's dead last, not 16th. So, alas, Zach, as I mentioned, the Broncos PR department, they do such great work. I mean, a lot of man hours goes into producing these, because this goes to the television broadcast crew, goes to all the beat writers, goes to us. So whoever's doing some of that stuff, man, they got to step their game up. This is like a consistent theme where things jump out. All right, special teams. Look at all this. And this is, again, something Nick's been harping on. It's like their secret weapon. It's their unsung heroes, the third phase. Third in gross punting, 9th in net punting, 8th in punt return average, 10th in punt return coverage, okay? 12th in kickoff return average, just outside the top 10. Kickoff return coverage, 4th. And then field goal percentage, 7th. It would be basically a perfect 100%, except Will Lutz did miss one field goal at MetLife Stadium. And then look at all this. They do have a good kick return game, the Panthers. They're tied for 8th in average. And then 90% in field goals, so a relatively reliable kicking game. And then penalties, Broncos still have a really high, ridiculous rate of opponent penalties getting committed, 2nd most in the NFL. Meanwhile, look at this. like Scott mentioned, I think the last time we did a head-to-head, what do these two metrics right here tell you on the left? Tells you that officials, for whatever reason, are hyper-vigilant, hyper-focused, hyper-flag-throwing when it comes to Bronco games. When you have the 20s, you have the, let's see, one, two, what is that? The sixth most penalties committed by yourself, Zach. And then your opponents have the second most. I mean, that tells you something. And then you can see the Panthers over there.
Yeah, I'll echo what Nick said about the special teams unit. Sean Payton's made some great hires. Say what you want about his play calling, but Jim Leonard and Mike Westhoff, who's one of the greatest special teams coaches of all time in NFL history, and he's been working in Denver the last couple of seasons, and you see it come out there. It's what a breath of fresh air after the last decade of futility on the third side of the ball.
Definitely. But look at this. Josie's not even in the top 10 or top three on his team in tackles because he's missed so many games. But if he can stay healthy, he'll jump up to number one probably pretty quickly, actually. But Brandon Jones leading this team in tackles, Zach, because Singleton on IR, but Barton and Moss were right there. I mean, I love seeing that Riley Moss is second on the team in tackles, dude. That's just awesome.
He's a dog.
He is, man. Sacks, we already covered. Picks, points scored, receiving yards. This, again, really shows you how low volume Denver's passing attack is when their leading receiver nearly halfway into the season is Sutton with 277 yards. And talk about, I mean, it's not like the Panthers, Zach, have a prolific passing game. We just went over that. But their leading receiver, 357, okay? But so that, again, shows you. I mean, Sutton was shut out last week. It's bad. Rushing, also not good. They do it till the cows come home, Zach, but they just hardly ever have come home except for, I mean, what could you point to? The Tampa game and then obviously the Saints game. So if the offense can get its you-know-what together and start truly complementing this amazing defense and special teams, it's a force to be reckoned with. George, great pod tonight as always, guys. Thanks. Bronx for life, MHH for life. Hit the thumbs up, everyone. Go Broncos. Really appreciate you, brother. Thank you. Good to see you tonight. George Fox in the house. Your thoughts, any last things on what we just saw?
Yeah, I've been neglecting to mention Deontay Johnson, who's been having like a career revival in Carolina based just on target volume alone. He could be somewhat of an issue, but fortunately the Broncos do have, even the PS2 sits on Sunday, Riley Moss can take care of him. McMillan, Jaquan can take care of him. We'll be able to run with him and he shouldn't be an issue. But again, if this isn't a game, and I said this last Thursday, or before Thursday about the Saints game, this is a game the Broncos shouldn't squeak by in. They shouldn't merely win. They should dominate if they're a legitimate playoff contender.
Yeah, I'll remind everybody, Johnson, of course, former semi-prolific Pittsburgh Steelers draft pick receiver. In 2020, he had 900 receiving yards. The year following, 2021, he had 1,100 plus. So he's had some production in the league. When was Big Ben's last season?
2021, I think.
Yeah.
They drafted Pickett in 22.
2021. So that was Big Ben's last season. His big career year was Big Ben's last season. Okay, guys, love you. We got a few messages for you, then we're going to dip out.
Another tremendous installment, as always, of the Mile High Huddle podcast. If you're not doing so, please fix that and follow us on Twitter at the MHH Pod. You can follow the main account on Twitter at Mile High Huddle. Chad at Chad and Jensen, myself at Kelberman NFL, and Scott, our producer, at Scout Kennedy. If you guys want some merch like we're rocking each and every single podcast, check out mhhmerch.com and get you some. If you haven't done so, please drop us a like at facebook.com/milehighhuddlepod. You can find us on Instagram at mile_high_huddle. If you're listening on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, make sure you're leaving your football priest a 5-star review for a chance to win some merch each and every single month. But if anything, y'all, please, please, please subscribe, like, and share this video and every video you see on the MHH channel. It really helps us grow and reach more Broncos fans just like you.
All right, guys, a mile high salute and a special shout out to the great Super Chat superstars and supporters tonight, helping us keep the lights on, like Sam Bam, jumping in early before the live stream even went. The Papa Bear, David McElrath, Zeus McPeak, love you, brother. Michael Ronquillo, Eric Flynn, The Duchess. The first two faces etched Zach on the MHH Super Chat Superstar Mount Rushmore in the house tonight. I love it. In Zeus and Michaela, Phil McLaughlin, go granddaughter in volleyball. Let's go. William James Baker, across the pond, Cody Dubb, and then Ralph Bracegirdle on Facebook. Love you guys. Thank you so much. Can't wait to see you for the gut reaction following Broncos Panthers. I'm predicting a win. I'll get into some detail on the Mile High Roundtable tomorrow morning. So look for that about probably lunchtime, but go Broncos.
Have a great weekend. We'll see you Sunday for a normal gut reaction post game. Take care, and as always, go Broncos.
Head on over to milehighhuddle.com for all things Broncos.
Trump-endorsed MAGA extremist Bernie Moreno says he wants to move Ohio forward. He wants to make America great again. For whom? For people of color? For black people? Nah. Moreno is just looking out for himself and his white supremacist MAGA buddies. He doesn't believe in multicultural America and equality for all. His own company has a long history of being sued for discrimination. He even called for reparations for white people and is firmly against inclusion and diversity programs. If elected, Moreno will rubber stamp Trump's radical 2025 and roll back policies that'll directly harm black families, our finances, jobs, social security, and healthcare. And he'll turn back the clock on our civil rights. Moreno thinks white supremacy will make America great again. Real talk, Moreno was not for us and will never look out for us. We must re-elect Sherrod Brown, who's a champion for our community and all Ohioans. Vote to secure your rights and your future. Vote for Sherrod Brown, November 5th.
Paid for by WinSenate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Trump-endorsed MAGA extremist Bernie Moreno says he wants to move Ohio forward. He wants to make America great again. For whom? For people of color? For black people? Nah. Moreno is just looking out for himself and his white supremacist MAGA buddies. He doesn't believe in multicultural America and equality for all. Moreno was not for us and will never look out for us. We must re-elect Sherrod Brown, who's a champion for our community and all Ohioans. Vote for Sherrod Brown, November 5th.
Paid for by WinSenate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.